Morning, Living Water. Well, we are talking about tithing this morning. I'm messing with you. We're not talking about tithing. But hey, it's good to see all of you here this morning. It's wonderful to see you in God's house on a Sunday morning. I know it was chilly, but it is warm and here in the body of Christ to see all of you fellowship today. Man, who is ready to dive into God's word? Amen. And you guys are awake today. Isaiah chapter 6, as Shane told you to flip over, if you're flipping over there. The title of today's message, wow, let me find English for a second, is Marked for a Mission. Man, so over the last few weeks, we've been in the series Unashamed, talking about the truth that as Christians, we're called and we have the ability to stand firm in Christ. That because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, that we have the ability to stand firm in a world that is opposed to him, to stand firm to the enemy's attacks. A few weeks ago, we talked about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, about how we can stand firm, even when doing so puts us in the fire. And then last week, we were reminded that as Christians, it must be evident that Christ is living through us. And I love where we've been in Scripture. Again, Romans 1:16 is, "For I'm unashamed of the gospel, which is the work of God for the salvation of all who believe." And so that builds into what we're talking today about being marked for a mission. But ultimately, what I want us to see today as we dive into Isaiah 6 is that we can be confident in the Lord as he calls us to this mission. So I have a few questions today just on confidence. Let's see if I get a response, kind of like the first service today. But man, who of you walked in here today and sat in your chair without looking to see if the legs were broken? Who of you confidently sat down? Man, some of you are not raising your hands and you're sitting down. So that leads me to believe that I'm worried about you up here, right? But hey, so most of you are confident that you sat down. Now, what if I asked you this? I have a blindfold here. Man, who would be confident enough to come up here and join me on stage and then let me lead you down the stairs and through all of the aisles in the sanctuary with just my voice? Okay, hey, Marcelo's confident in me. I love that. Cooper, hey, great. Hey, man, not a lot of you are confident in me, and that makes sense. I told the first service I'm directionally challenged. I don't know my right from my left, which is my right from my left. That's backwards, by the way. I thought that might make you laugh, but it didn't. But anyway, you have no reason to be confident in me leading you down and through anything. I haven't done anything to prove your confidence, right? But as we talk about the mission that God has called us to do, we can be confident as we boldly serve Christ in all areas of our life, as we proclaim his name to every tribe, tongue, and nation, to every neighbor, family member, friend, co-worker, or person that we run into, you and I can be confident in God because he has given us more than enough reason to see that he is faithful, to see that he is good, and to see that he provides. And this is the beauty and the truth of the gospel, that those of us who were dead in sin may live in Christ Jesus, saved for a purpose to show other people that the blood that has washed us clean can wash them clean too. And as God has called us to this mission, as we dig into Isaiah, man, I want us to see that our confidence is in the Lord. Again, I don't want to sugarcoat the mission. Sharing the gospel, being a light for Christ, as David has talked about over the past few weeks with being unashamed, is no easy task at times. Sometimes it requires us to stand firm even when it's difficult. It requires us to be opposed to the world. It requires us to leave some things behind. And so again, the mission can often be difficult, but even when this is the truth, we have a God who gives us every reason to be faithful and obedient to that call. So as we dive into Isaiah 6 for us, we're going to read through it and then I'll pray for us and we'll break it down. But starting in verse 1, it says this: It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their face, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. Then I said, Lord, how long will this go on? And he replied, until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland, until the Lord has sent everyone away, and the entire land of Israel lies deserted. If even a tenth, a remnant survive, it will be invaded again and burned. But as a terebinth or oak tree leaves a stump when it is cut down, so Israel's stump will be a holy seed. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the mission that you've marked us for, that you've called us to. Lord, we ask that you would just allow us to see your faithfulness today. Lord, that as we dive into your word, that you would speak to us. God, that you would just open our hearts to your word. That God, as we receive your word today, we would be emboldened to take it out, Lord, and apply it to our lives, and Lord, share your word with other people. It's in your most heavenly name that we pray. Amen. So Isaiah, man, he has a really cool experience here. Again, it's not just a dream or a thought that he has, but he sees a vision of the Lord. When you look at those first four verses, man, he's seeing the throne room of God here. In Revelation chapter 4, it paints a vision of the throne room of God about how all of creation is seated in the throne room as Christ has risen to his throne and sits on, and all of creation cries out, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who was slain. And this is the vision that Isaiah sees. But through all of this, through the things that Isaiah hears from God here, I think there's three things that I want us to see about how we can be confident as the Lord marks us for mission. And so the first is this. We can be confident because he is victorious. We can be confident because he is victorious. In those first four verses, again, it says, I saw the Lord, he was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Again, Isaiah, seeing the throne room of God here, tells us that this is a magnificent place where God is lifted high upon his throne. He is high and magnified, and that the train of his robe fills the temple. And seraphim stand above him. They show the more the glory of the Lord. They show how powerful he is. And at their voice crying out holy, the very foundations shake and tremble. Man, this is the God that we serve, who is full of holiness and glory, and the earth trembles at the saying of his very voice. Right? But he is a victorious God. Right? Isaiah points out something to us that's pretty very important here, that the train of his robe fills the temple. This isn't just an observation that Isaiah makes. Like, he didn't just see God's train and said, hey, that's a really long robe. Let me write that down. No, this means something. So in the Old Testament, when a king would go into a different land and conquer another king, when he would conquer another country, another nation, he would go into that land that he had conquered and he would feast upon the spoils, right? So he would go, he would take the goods of the land, he would take the gold, he would take the livestock, all of those things. But another thing that he would do is he would go to this king that he had conquered, whether the king was captured or dead at this point, and he would have his men cut off a piece of this king's robe that he had conquered. And once that piece was cut off, he would have it sewn to the end of his robe. And so what it did for kings in that time is it allowed them to, as they walked amongst their people, it became a clear vision of the victories that they had. The more ends that they had sewn to their train, the more ends that they had sewn to the robe meant the more victories that they had. It gave confidence to their people that the king that we that rules over us, man, he's a victorious king. He's good in battle. And so what Isaiah says here, that the train of his robe fills the temple, this isn't just a train that's longer because of some victory, but it's a train that fills the entire room because our God is eternally victorious. That our God is victorious in all things. That there's no name or truth that can change the fact that our God is victorious. Man, we can be confident in this victory. As believers, we should find all the more confidence in his mission for our lives because he's sending us from a place of victory. When God calls you to a mission, when he marks you for a mission, He's not sending you from a place that's hopeful of what could happen. He's sending you from a place that's already sitting on what has happened. He's already risen from the grave. He's already defeated sin and death. He is a king of victory. When God calls us to a mission, this isn't a fourth quarter Hail Mary mission that's been given to us, like, you know, with Texas Tech yesterday. That was sad, by the way. Very, very sad about that. But this is a God that has called us from a place of victory. We can be confident in this victory. The mission that he's called us to is rooted and built on his life. Church, know today that sin has been defeated, death has been conquered, Christ is resurrected, and he lives today. On top of all of this, Scripture tells us in that set of verses that he is holy and full of glory. That his holiness and his glory shines above all other names. That it cannot be contained. Church, he is victorious then, now, and forever. Be confident. As I mentioned earlier, we can't sugarcoat the mission. It will often feel difficult to be the salt and the light of the earth, because as we align ourselves with Christ, we know that we're sitting opposed from the world. But church, be confident in sharing the gospel and witnessing to others and being the salt and the light, even as it requires us to leave our comfort zones and our worries and our fears, because we serve a God that the battle belongs to. We serve a God that the war is already won. That's the God that we serve. He's victorious. Be confident in his victory. The next thing that he shows us through his interaction with Isaiah here is that we can be confident because his cleansing is sufficient. We can be confident because his cleansing is sufficient. In verses 5 through 7, he says, "Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a filthy people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.'" Man, Isaiah, seeing the glory of the Lord here, recognizes the problem immediately. Right? And the problem has nothing to do with God, but it has everything to do with him. Isaiah sees God in his holiness and says, "Woe is me, I am a sinful man. I am doomed because of my sin." Isaiah thought that for sure, because of the God's holiness, that I'm unfit to be in his presence, that I'm doomed for death. Man, the same is true of us today. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all are separated from God because of sin. Right? God cannot be in the presence of sin. His holiness will not tolerate it, and it's why we so desperately need a Savior. And by the love of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us, this no longer has to be our reality should we respond to the gospel and surrender to Jesus in faith. But Isaiah, who is woe is me, is like, I'm unworthy for what God is about to call me to. And man, I think the same mentality that we can have at times. Man, even for those of us that are in Christ, right, we think that because of our past, because of our struggles, or any sin that we've dealt with, that we're unfit to serve in God's kingdom, that we're unfit to carry out his work here on earth. And when that train of thought, when that lie from Satan gets a hold of our brain and it rules our life, man, all that causes us to do is to sit back and not take hold of what God has called us to. And we leave his work for other people because we feel like we're too broken to serve in his kingdom. But church, we can be confident today and at all times because his cleansing is sufficient. When Isaiah cries before the Lord and announces that his sin, God responds. He has one of the seraphim fly over to Isaiah, and he picked up a burning coal with tongs from the altar, and he touched the lips of Isaiah, and he says, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is removed, and your sins are forgiven." The altar here is extremely important because that coal came from something that had to be sacrificed. Something had to pay the price for Isaiah to be cleansed. And church, Christ is the perfect lamb sent in our place. Christ's sacrifice is enough. His blood is enough. The new life that he gives, the removal of guilt from your life because he paid the price for each and every one of us, is enough. Every lash, every nail, every drop of blood that was shed for a purpose, to cleanse us from sin, and that is more than enough. Why is this? Because we serve a Savior who did not just pay the price of sin, but who rose and defeated it for eternity. He has sealed victory, and there is no sin too great for him to cleanse, There is no sin too great for him to not use you for a purpose today. God is calling us to be used in his master plan to reach every tribe, tongue, and nation. And there's nothing in your life that is too great for him to look at you and say that I cannot use you. No matter what has defined your past, no matter what sin you have been in, he provides new life and he is ready to use you today. We see that in the fact that his cleansing was sufficient when he tells Isaiah, hey, I've touched your lips. Your guilt and your sin have been removed. He didn't tell Isaiah, hey, now that I've cleansed you, I need you to wait a moment. No, as soon as he tells them this, in verse 8, God's going to ask a question, and Isaiah's going to be sent. The gospel saves us for a purpose, just as we'll talk about in just a second. But church, don't lose sight this morning on the truth that his blood is enough. When you feel like you're unworthy to be marked for a mission, when you feel like you're unworthy of his calling, know that the forgiveness that Christ provides is more than enough. His cleansing is sufficient. Another thing that we can find confidence in the Lord in as he calls us for his mission is that because he sends with a purpose. That when he sends us out, he does it with a purpose. When you look at verses 8 again, this is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. Man, Isaiah, it's just one of those passages that fires you up, right? I asked the first service this. For me, this makes me want to run through a brick wall. Does anyone else feel like that? Like you're ready to run through a brick wall for God? Okay, so just me today. Just me, I guess. And I guess that's smart because, you know, I'm probably not going to get through the brick wall. But anyway, this is just one of those passages that fires you up because God calls out, hey, who should I send as a messenger? Who will go for us? And who will be a messenger to this people? And Isaiah boldly answers, Lord, here I am, send me. Man, Isaiah's answer is rooted in confidence because he has seen God do everything. Man, Isaiah's answer, here I am, send me, is Lord, I have seen your faithfulness in my life. I have seen your provision in every season. I have seen your peace in times of hardship. Lord, I've seen you work time and time again. You've never led me astray. You've never failed me. Even when it felt hopeless, Lord, you have been there. So, Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me. Man, isn't it awesome that we serve a God who calls us to be a part of his plan? That we serve a God who says, hey, I need you to be the hands and the feet of the gospel. That I want to entrust you with that. Man, look back on what God has done in your life. The moments where he has shown up. The moments where he's come through. The hardships where he's given peace and comfort, the joy that he provides. Man, as he calls us to be a part of his plan, to be on mission, as we go out in our daily lives, have faith and confidence in him because of who he is and what he has done. He is faithful even as we are faithless. Man, let who he is drive you to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Man, say, here I am, send me in your families, in your jobs, in different areas of life with your friend groups. Say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm ready to be the salt and the light. I've seen you time and time again be faithful. Lord, I'm ready. But he sends with a purpose as well. Like he doesn't just send Isaiah empty-handed. Now the message that he gives Isaiah is hard. You know, he says, listen carefully, do not understand, watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. Man, the message that God gave Isaiah was not an easy, lighthearted message. It was difficult. Man, it was one of repentance and warning. Israel, who had strayed far from God, was going to hear from Isaiah a warning of God's hand that was going to come and punish them. Man, God's punishment and judgment would fall upon the nation. Other people would come in and wipe out much of Israel. This was no easy task for Isaiah, but it was a specific purpose that God prepared him for. So how can we be confident in this? I know that's a hard message. Because just as God gave Isaiah a specific message that he prepared him for, God calls us for a purpose and lays it out what we're supposed to do. Right? And it's not what he gave Isaiah to the nation of Israel, but it's in Matthew 28 when he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. This is the specific purpose and message that God has called us to. This is the mission that we're marked for, right? God's call, again, it's probably not going to look like Isaiah's, but you and I can have confidence in his calling because he's already laid out the game plan. He's laid it out for us. Again, well, like we talked about earlier, he's sending us from a position of victory. He's saying, hey, the battle's already won. I've already defeated sin. I just need you to go be the image bearer of my name. And here's exactly what I need you to do. To make disciples, to share the gospel as we go, everywhere we go, teaching others to live as Christ has called us to live. Have confidence in his calling because it's not a shot in the dark. It's a well-detailed mission with victory already guaranteed. I think sometimes it's easy to feel overwhelmed with the mission of Christ. It's easy to feel overwhelmed because we feel like, God, I got to come up with the words. God, I don't know what to say. God, what if I have to make something up? And I promise you, in Scripture it tells us, I've already told you exactly what to say. Just tell them of my name and of my sacrifice and of who I am. And ultimately, church, be confident because God has sent the Holy Spirit to be the helper that will speak through us. That as God has called you to be the salt and the light, that he is with you always. He says at the end of the Great Commission, behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. Have confidence because he's always near. I told our students this past week, our college and our youth students, that wherever God's calling you in life, that wherever it feels like he's calling you into the waters, wherever it feels like he's calling you to go, to be a light to, know that he's calling you somewhere and he's going with you and he's gone before you. That wherever he's calling you to go, he's going with you and he's gone before you. He is with you, you are not alone, and he has already gone before you to prepare that path. It's not about our performance or our work. Scripture tells us that we have nothing to offer, that our righteousness is of filthy rags. But he's going before us so that we can step forth in faith and obedience and let him shine through us. Again, it's easy to feel overwhelmed with the mission that Christ calls us to. It's easy to feel alone as we go, but know that he's always present and that he has given us the instructions. That as he's marked us for a mission, he's given us everything that we need. Be confident in that. Have confidence in the God of victory, the author of salvation, and the giver of new life, new meaning, and new purpose. This morning, know that he has given us more than enough reason to be confident. Again, I asked you this morning, who would be confident wearing a blindfold and letting me lead you through the sanctuary? Again, I got a few of you to raise your hands. I'm still kind of, feelings are still kind of hurt by that a little bit. Not really. Again, I told you I'm directionally challenged. I have not given you any reason to be confident in my ability to do this. We serve a God who time and time again has given us every single reason to be confident. And church, he's not asking us to do it blindfolded. He's not asking us to go into the dark with nothing. He's assured us that victory is at the end. Church, Scripture tells us that for those of us who have come to know Jesus, that for those of us that have placed our faith and trust in him who endure, that victory is guaranteed, that our inheritance is eternal life with the Father. Know that he is in control and working all things out for good, even when the path feels like you can't see it. He's assured us that victory is at the end. Church, don't miss out on the mission that he's calling us to. Man, again, we serve a God who has given us the opportunity to be the salt and the light. As a member of the body of Christ, this is our calling. It's not a cool thing that he tells the disciples, but it's a calling that he gives us to be broken people made new by the Savior who show others his love and his goodness. Man, but the first step to this is accepting Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus today, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, then know that there's no other decision that gives new meaning, new life, and new purpose. There's no other decision as important. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. Jesus is the only person that takes away the sting of death and the power of evil because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. Again, don't forget the truth today that we serve a God where the tomb is empty. It's empty. We serve a risen Savior who's defeated all things. Man, if you need to make a decision today, if you need to talk to one of us, if you need to place your faith in Jesus for the first time, man, if God's drawing you to that, don't hesitate. Come and talk to one of us. I'll be here at the front. David, Shane, Marcelo, and I, we would love to talk to one of you to help you make that decision. Or if you have anything that you need to talk about. But church, don't lose sight on the truth today. that you're marked for a mission, that God has given you an opportunity to be salt and the light, and we can be confident in what he's done. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you that you're a God who saves, that you're a God who doesn't leave us in darkness, but God, that you're a God who works all things out. Lord, we just thank you that you've been faithful to us. Lord, even as we have struggled, Lord, we know that you're faithful beyond end. Lord, we ask that you would just allow us to find confidence in you today. Lord, that as we leave this building, we would be salt and light to the world around us. God, that we would be on mission that you have marked us for. Lord, we just thank you for your name and for your word. It's your most heavenly name that we pray. Amen. Would you go ahead and stand with us as we get ready to dismiss this morning again? It's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. Don't forget about family or Fall Fun Fest next week here at from 5 to 7. It'll be a really fun time. We would love to see each and every one of you here. But again, church, know that you're marked for a mission. Go out and be the salt and the light. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week.